found my focus soon as you came into view. Highlight and expose the way I think of you. Now it's clear as day just what I need to do. Don't ever start, just give it all that you got.
Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of Shoot Your Shot. This week's episode is going to be all about moving your business from one location to another. It may just be moving from one city to another because of work circumstances or personal commitments. It may also just be a case of you are moving countries completely. And I found that there's not too much online to educate you guys on moving your business from one place to another and ensuring it stays relevant and stays successful in that new environment, because it can be very, very difficult, especially going into an environment where you know absolutely no one. So that's what I wanted to dedicate this particular episode to. Today we're actually going to be joined by an amazing guest who has actually made that move all the way from Australia over to London. Today we're going to be joined by Katrik from KS Creative Photography, and he is going to talk to us all about some of the struggles that he's encountered in making that move, how it's affected his business, and just lay out, as usual, some amazing tips for us if we ever consider moving, what to do, how to do it, and how to ensure that your business remains successful and thrives even in your new location. So I'm really excited for Katrik to come on here today and give us some of those valuable tips.
Okay, so I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Oh, we're starting. Yeah. Is this it? Oh, yeah, fantastic. G'day, guys. I feel like that's appropriate given I'm Australian.
It is, yeah.
G'day, my name's Katrik. I am a South Asian wedding and portrait photographer from Australia, and I'm currently in the UK.
Awesome. How long have you been in the UK now?
So I came here in October, basically. So nearly six months now, actually.
How are you finding it?
You know what? You're like the 1,100th person that's probably asked me that question. Probably, and yeah, my response is still the same. It's cold.
Yeah.
It's freaking cold, man. Like, I realized very quickly, I was like, yeah, it'll be cold. But I didn't know how cold it would actually be. And I touched snow for the first time when I got here. When it snowed in like that week of like December or something.
Yeah.
Like. And that was fun. Because it doesn't snow in Australia, so I was like, that was fun for me. That was fun.
Did you play in the snow?
I'm guilty. I chucked a snowball for the first time, yeah. I was like satisfying my inner child. I was very late to the game.
Nice.
Okay, so the premise of this particular episode was, obviously you've made such a massive move involving your personal life, involving your business and everything, and it was just to walk us through some of the aspects that involved and how difficult it was, because I'm sure there's multiple photographers out there that will be either looking or have done move their businesses from one place to another, whether it's a city, whether it's a country. I probably doubt there's that many photographers that have moved this big of a move.
Oh, look, honestly, like it's such a big challenge, to be honest. Yeah. And first of all, kudos to you for actually creating this particular episode about the whole move, because I remember when I was researching about this, I was like, how to move, literally on YouTube, how to move your business.
Yeah.
And not much content came up specifically around one, wedding photographers, but at least this niche of being in one country to another. There was a few videos, but I do rate the fact that this particular episode is kind of around that focus. So mad props to you for anything.
Cheers, thank you.
I think the biggest challenge, first of all, just straight off the bat, is just mindset.
Yeah, like, of course.
Mentally preparing yourself that you're going to go from one country to another and not know literally anyone is probably the most daunting thing you can think about doing before it actually even happens.
Yeah, of course.
So, like, forget, you know, the logistics, forget the actual where do I live, forget the whole where will I find leads or bookings. It's just, let's just get my mind wrapped around that, right?
Yeah.
Like, being born and raised in one country, never really left home as a South Asian kid. I think that's quite common within, you know, our community a lot. It's just like, you know, brown people typically just stay at home with their folks. And that's good, you know, that's great, save a lot of money. But I never traveled. I hadn't done any of that stuff. And I'm like, look, I really want to be abroad. So mentally, I just had to prepare myself that I was going to be just alone.
Yeah.
And in a brand new country, of course, cold. So I think that was easily one of the biggest hurdles I had.
Yeah.
And then the second was actual trying to figure out what are the ways that I actually transition my business from one country to another. And, you know, I'd done wedding photography for about 5 years in Australia and business was good.
Yeah.
And that was really, really amazing. But I had no experience overseas. I'd never shot a wedding in UK. I didn't know anyone, of course. I had no leads. I had nothing. All I had, and I think this makes it easier, which I'll talk about in a bit, is a portfolio.
Yeah.
And so that transition was kind of a little bit easier. But beyond that, literally didn't have anything off to go off apart from a gut feel and intuition, some level of confidence maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe like blind luck, if you want to call it that. So probably easily that challenge. But I think if I wasn't comfortable being okay with this mindset that I had, if I wasn't okay with the challenge of putting myself in an unknown location, if the whole foreign concept of being completely isolated didn't sit well with me, I wouldn't have moved. Like, you need to really just mentally prepare that whatever you know in your comfort zone is not going to exist as soon as you touch base in another country, right? And these are little things from like, well, you go grocery shopping, right?
Yeah, of course.
You can't just go to your mate's house down the road anymore, right? Yeah. Time zones. Oh my gosh, time zones. That's just the other biggest thing, right? So these are the things I think just mentally I had to prepare myself for before I even got here, which I think was like the biggest challenge.
I'm really looking forward to getting into that. All right, just before we do kind of get into that then, if you want to tell us a little bit how you got into photography, a bit about your story, and just your background.
What was so interesting was, and we were speaking about this off channel just before, but I think my story about how I got into photography could relate to a few others in the sense that it probably came from a place of not being satisfied doing a corporate or a full-time job at that point. So I was a 22 year old at the time doing a corporate job 9 to 5, and I actually remember being given a book by my mentor, and it was a book called Ikigai. I don't know if you've read this book. It's a fantastic book. And the book essentially talks about your passion and your purpose, which is, you know, a phenomenal book.
Yeah.
And how to find it. And it's the cross section between four questions. What do you like? What are you good at? What does the world need? And what can you get paid for?
Yeah.
Now, for me, what I liked was, and as corny as it was, I thought relationships were really cool. I thought love was a really great thing to be around, and anyone who was around that would also be very happy as a person.
Yeah.
So I thought I liked that. What I was good at was actually creativity. So I was a fun fact. I was an Indian classical dancer before I was a photographer.
Oh, nice. Yeah, are you really?
Yeah, I'm still doing it as well. Okay. So I joined a school here as well, which is fantastic. But I always had this this creative side, and I think for me, dance was a big part of me growing up. So when I merged creativity and relationships together, it spat out wedding photography, and I knew the world needed them, and I knew you can get paid for it. 4 weeks later, I handed in my resignation and quit my job.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is coming from someone that has never picked up a camera, by the way. I've got no shred of photography experience in my body, right? Literally nothing. But I was acting off a whim. But that whim was perhaps the biggest catalyst for my entire career and for now me living a life of true happiness and purpose every single day.
Yeah.
So I started off as not in weddings particularly, but I did birthdays for a while. So I think you try and find what you can get. Right?
Yeah,
you try and find, you know, what you, any gigs that come your way. You did everything, right? You shot things that you're probably not even interested in. So I shot a lot of birthdays, but I remember getting into fashion a lot because I wanted to do a lot of mock shoots for brides because I couldn't even get brides.
Right.
So I reached out to every single South Asian clothing brand in Sydney at the time, and I literally just started shooting content for them.
Yeah.
Little at the time did I realize, but that actually developed this editorial flair that I had for my work, which I now incorporate a lot into my shooting style now, which I really appreciate. But eventually, after doing enough of that, I finally got my first wedding.
Yeah.
And it was a Punjabi Sikh wedding. It was like a 5 to 6 day back-to-back gig. And I remember charging very little. I think every photographer goes through that. Like your first wedding is always going to be really, like barely anything, right? Undercharge myself. It was like $2,000 for the entire wedding. And that's where it all started. So then doing that for a few years was great, but then I very quickly became too comfortable.
Right.
And I know we spoke about this before, but I'm glad that we appreciate that comfort for us is a sign of complacency. And so we want to constantly keep growing.
Yeah.
So the decision to move abroad overseas came through the pandemic. And, you know, as at a time where you actually couldn't even travel, but that's when I wanted to travel the most.
Yeah.
And so I realized very quickly, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get through COVID. I'm going to have a cutoff date and I'm going to move to London. And that was kind of a short synopsis of literally like how this entire thing just came about in a very sporadic, very reckless, impulsive, but very, like, very interesting way. And I loved it.
Why London specifically?
You know what? It was a toss-up between two markets, the US market, right? Or the UK. The only thing that literally converted me was the fact that Europe is your backyard, right? Oh, and you could literally just go to any other city,
yeah,
right? And I thought that if I wanted to travel, I always wanted to go to Europe irrespective.
Yeah.
So I'm like, at least as a wedding photographer, if I wanted to do the South Asia market, Europe and London just sort of made sense to me.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, let me just go there. And I thought the wedding seemed really grandiose here. There was a lot of like South Asians within this sort of hub. And I'm like, I could learn a lot as well because there was some talented artists here that I really respected.
Of course.
And I thought, you know what, this would be a great opportunity for me to expand my skill set, to network, to meet other people, to see how weddings are done differently.
Yeah. Here.
Which are really interesting. So that's why I chose UK.
So one of the questions, you've just touched on it as well, actually. One of the main questions that I had was, how different is it shooting in the UK as opposed to shooting in Australia?
That's a good question. So, I mean, at the very core essence of it, the actual job, literally as a wedding photographer, you still have bride prep and groom prep.
Of course.
You know, you still have the ceremony proceedings and you got your post-wedding photo shoot.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've realized, I mean, receptions can either be split into a separate day here or they could be the same day. So the template of what a wedding is, quite literally, is the same.
Yeah.
But I think the nature of these weddings are a much more bigger scale.
Yeah.
So the way I kind of describe Sydney in comparison to, say, a UK market is it's like a hub of a hub, right? Like, it's like a much more smaller, concentrated area. So when I came to the UK and I've shot a few weddings here now, those weddings have just been much more bigger. There's been a bit more of a demand, so I obviously had to have a team of people.
Yeah.
I think there is a lot more scope for creativity here. So when I've tried to, you know, have a conversation with the brides, they're like, oh, we really want you to do as much as you possibly can. Like, do this and do that.
Oh, awesome. Sick.
Like, you know, let's go big. Let's go hard for it. And so I think a lot of people welcome a lot of creative talent here. The market is saturated. I will be honest. There is a lot. There is a lot of photographers here.
Everyone and their uncle is a photographer.
Which I will appreciate. And I think it has a lot more pros and cons. I think there's ability to network and to grow and to even recommend as well, which has been phenomenal. And I know, and kudos to you, because I know that you're doing these with a few vendors in the industry as well. And that's phenomenal. In Sydney, you've just got a very select few vendors there. And, you know, once you do your first wedding, you're pretty much known, right?
Yeah.
That's why I'm like, okay, if I wanted to learn, if I wanted to grow, UK was the place to be at.
Yeah.
But if I also wanted to see what a bigger sized wedding was like, or a bigger scope for creativity, or how people shoot differently here, I just realized instantly that this just made sense. So when I came here and I saw a few weddings, I even second shoot it, it was like, oh, wow, these are a few different things. Like photographers have more creative talent here.
Yeah.
And it was such a great insight when I started working within the first couple of months.
Mm.
And I saw and I compared a lot from, okay, UK weddings to Australian wedding. And although, the job is the same, but how it's executed will vary slightly differently, which I realized.
So do you think the fact that you've got your background in Australia and the way that you shoot, that's kind of curated from shooting in Australia, do you think that's something that you have that's unique that you can apply here? Because you have a different type of style then, don't you?
Yeah. I think when, you know, the early stages of an inquiry comes through and the couple's like, go for a phone call.
Yeah.
First 5 seconds, like, where are you from? And I'm like, oh, look, yeah, you know, from Australia. They're like, oh, you know, you've got a slight accent. I think what I've realized, which is fascinating actually, is I think people welcome here a few new faces. They'll be like, oh, you're different. We've not seen you before.
Mm.
And when they marry that up with the portfolio, they'll be like, okay, so you bring a fresh perspective, right? The job is, it's still wedding photography, right? But you still bring your style and your creative flair. So when I've had these conversations with, you know, couples and I tell them that, look, my background is, I'm from Australia. One of the biggest knockbacks I do get is, oh, so you've not been to a few of the venues here. I do get that a few times, actually.
Right, okay.
So I try and tell them that, look, you know, for me, I actually always, you know, can go out and research the places if I need to.
Yeah.
Suss out, like, make sure that this is something I can do. But other than that, it's always going on the other side of saying, look, I'm actually not from here, you're right. But it's because I'm not from here that I have this different eye, that maybe this different talent or maybe this different way of shooting, that it is actually a good thing. So, you know, I used that to my advantage and I showed it in as, you know, I do have this editorial concept and this is what I sort of came from this fashion background. And then the whole Australian twang just kind of mixes it all in. And then it's like, you know, you bring your personality, your persona, and by the end of it, they see something that, you know what, you can do the job. you're not half bad as a bloke, you're pretty easy going, you know, and Aussies are pretty chilled and laid back people. So yeah. I was like, yeah, why not, right? Like, just give it a shot. And I think that's kind of the conversation I focus on whenever I talk to brides and grooms. It's like, look, because I am different for a various different reasons, these are the reasons that I believe you can give me a shot for. Kind of works.
Fair enough.
Kind of works.
So have you had any weddings here so far?
Yeah. So the first wedding, which, I mean, although they were a UK couple, their wedding was actually in Portugal.
And, oh, nice.
Yeah, and it was a really great, great, fantastic wedding. My first destination wedding, actually.
Amazing. Congratulations.
Great. Thank you. And they found me from my YouTube channel, so shameless plug there.
Nice.
They were a UK-based couple. We did their pre-wedding photo shoot in London, and then the actual wedding itself was in Portugal for 3 days back-to-back. The second wedding came about in the back end of December, and it came from me just DMing a whole bunch of different people. So I think this is something, again, I'll dive into later, but, you know, one of the ways in which I found bookings were just to literally go out there and have a conversation.
Yeah.
And when I say go out there, just on your phone and just DMing a ton of people every day.
Yeah.
So every day I set a limit of 20 people that I would DM, and I would just message them a copy and paste a template. And that message I would literally just send to everyone. And then one person eventually ended up responding to that, saying, you know what, I actually am getting married, and I'm getting married at the end of the year. Let's have a chat. And that was the wedding that I shot in London with my team. And it was great. It was a fantastic wedding. Intimate Punjabi wedding. It was good. Not too rowdy, but it was fun. And it was my first proper one since I got here. Yeah. And I got here at the end of the day last year, and shot two weddings. One was in Portugal and one was in London itself.
So the one that you shot in London, how did you find that? Did you feel like you had nerves, like you were a newbie nervous. Again?
Yeah. It was like, you know the feeling, and this is where I realized, it's like, you know when you go to school for the first time as a kid?
Yeah.
But then you go from a transition of like primary to high school. That's what we called it in Australia, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh shit, I got to do the exact same thing all over again. That's kind of what it was. It's like, although the job's the same, I got to just do the exact same thing, but all over again, in terms of, I don't know anyone here. I don't know this venue. These guests are different. Even when I was speaking, they all just looked at me and they're like, this bloke's not from here.
Yeah.
Like, who are you? And obviously that, you know, they mean well, but it's just so funny because I was actually really nervous. And I've been doing this for about 5 years now. Yeah. I shouldn't be, but I was. And I think it showed that I did care, but it also showed that despite being from one country, you can still feel a bit anxious. Right?
Yeah, of course.
Even though you've done it hundreds of times. But I walked into that knowing, well, you know, it's still the same job. It shouldn't change. My skill set should be the same.
Yeah.
It can't get hopefully worse. It should only get better, right? If anything. So I welcomed it, and it was a great, great, fantastic experience, man. I loved it.
Amazing.
I loved it.
So just kind of go back on track then. How difficult has the transition been between?
You know what? If I look back at it now, I could easily say it could have been better.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
But I think there were a lot of things that I had tried that helped to cushion the blow, if I could say it that way, in terms of the transition from location A to B.
Right.
And I can go into those, which I think will probably be a very insightful.
Definitely.
The transition itself was made easy by doing one thing. And honestly, it's just by being proactive.
Yeah.
So my biggest tip is whenever someone's actually thinking about doing the transition itself doesn't even come on the day or when you land in the country. It actually comes 6 to 9 months before you even decide.
Yeah.
So it became simple things. For instance, I started off by changing my Instagram handle. I kept it as KS Creative Photography, but the actual name was not Australian Wedding Photographer. It was London Wedding Photographer. So I changed it to that.
How far in advance did you change that?
Changed that about 6 months in advance.
Oh, nice.
So I wasn't even in the country. And at that point, it was really confusing because people were like, wait, where are you right now? Because I got inquiries still from Australia.
Yeah.
But then eventually I started getting things in London.
Right.
And so that was one of the first things I did. The second thing that I did was my website. Yeah. And it's so incredibly important for SEO purposes to update that regularly as well. But I changed my location instead from like Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Perth, cities in Australia to now cities in London or cities in the UK rather. Right. And that also helped for SEO. Eventually, then you start getting onto sponsored ads, and you can do that via three categories, be it Instagram, Facebook, or even Google ads, right?
Of course.
And just geo-targeting locations that you want to work in. And it got to a point where my Australian leads stopped and my UK leads started growing.
Right.
And this all came from being proactive. Mm. So what ended up happening was when I came to the UK, Portugal was already booked because the conversation was happening midway as I was transitioning.
Oh, amazing.
So I think I was still in Sydney doing a FaceTime Sydney hours with the UK couple.
Yeah.
Told them, hey, I'm coming to, you know, the country. This is what's going to happen. And I ended up booking in that before I even got here.
Awesome.
And then a few leads came through as I knew I was making my way to the UK, and that came for like all of 2023, which was fantastic. So now it was like, yes, I had my concerning periods where I'm like, oh, do I have dry leads? You know, is there going to be a dry month here and there? But irrespective, things kept coming through.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anyone is actually thinking about transitioning, I would say that the never start marketing on the day. You do this much more in advance, right?
Yeah.
And it's always the things that you would do when you first started your business. So when you create an Instagram account, when you create a website, when you have maybe a Facebook page,
yeah,
you just do, you pay attention to those things specifically, but you start adjusting the location from where you're at. You know, and sponsoring the ads are probably the best way. And then writing blogs. So, you know, getting into written SEO blogs for people to find you was by far one of the best ways. And because I've got this like interest in documenting the journey, I now talk about it on a YouTube channel. So anyone that follows that channel is actively aware if they are in the UK that, oh, he's coming here now.
Oh, nice.
The other best ways I actually thought was fantastic was, and I know we haven't talked about this, was actually collaborations just yet. So when I got here, I remember DMing almost every single hair and makeup artist in the UK.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm like, first of all, I want you to know who I am because there's a chance I want to work with you.
Yeah.
And second of all, like, let's create something together, right? Let's do something. And I met some fantastic people, man. Like, there were some great, great talented artists I came across, which is great. And I've shot, I thought about this the other day, the number of shoots that I'd done 24 shoots so far.
Oh, wow.
And they're a combination of anything from product shoots to couples to clothing brands to modeling, fashion runways, events, all of that. Out of the 24, I think 19 of them were all free.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Crazy.
And the remaining were all paid.
It's almost as though it's being a newbie again, isn't
literally,
it?
Literally. It's like, you know what? It's so simple when you just treat it as if you're first starting off again. Yeah. Just like, remember that hustle in like the first couple of weeks you start off something, you're like, oh, I'm so keen. That drive is what's really important here.
Yeah.
Because yes, technically you've got the skill set, but you got to push the brand in another country.
Of course.
And that's
what's
really important. So I did so many shoots, but what that did was it helped people to get to find me. There was a this whole collaborative mindset and people found my work, which is great.
Yeah.
Influencers were a big one. And when I had shot these influencers, I remember some of the inquiries that came through were people say, hey, we saw your work on so-and-so's page. We follow them personally and we just want to have a chat.
Oh, wow.
The second category of people that I remember religiously having conversations with were wedding planners.
Yeah.
And I remember I'm like, every single wedding planner in London, I want to message every single one of them.
Oh, great.
And I felt like such a hoe. I'm not even kidding you. I was like literally sending the same message because it's a numbers game, right?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
You want to message as many people knowing that probably half of them won't even reply.
Yeah.
You'll probably get scene zoned and that's max. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
But the other half may. And that's what I was just banking on. So these wedding planners were just either going, great, we now know who you are. We'll keep you in mind. And the third category was venues themselves. So some of them was just talking to actual venues, like owners and managers going, hey, I'm new. Do you need photos, by the way, to easily take photos of, you know, your location?
Yeah.
Or do you have a recommended vendor supplying list? So some of the conversations I had were promising. Some of them didn't even hear back. But the actual transition happens well in advance.
Yeah.
And these are things that you can do predominantly digitally. So I would say, honestly, 90% of these things are all digital. But you can do them from the comfort of your room. There's no excuse, right?
Yeah.
Or from my phone or from my laptop. And that in its own is literally just the easiest way to move from literally halfway around the world, if you think about it. And of course, you get the odd occasional, we don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's very normal. But you keep rinsing and repeating that. Eventually, people will come through.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, he's now local here. Now, I think every lead that it comes through is all just UK-based. I barely get any Australian leads anymore. So, if I ever move back, I'll probably have to redo all this.
Fair enough. So the fact that you obviously have talked through how you've made that move, looking back in hindsight, is there any kind of additional steps that you would add to that? Or is there any kind of steps that you would maybe amend?
Yes. Learn to be patient.
Oh, really?
just be incredibly patient and kind to yourself because, like I said, the first barrier of the actual transition is just yourself. It's not even physical logistics. the amount of times I had questioned myself saying, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Is this the right move? I am going to lose all my money. I'm not going to have anything. I'm going to have to buy a ticket and go straight back home in disappointment. The amount of times I wish I told myself just to be kind and patient, things will come.
Mm.
I wish there was someone to give me that perspective, but there wasn't. I had to really encompass that myself.
Yeah.
I think honestly, if I could just redo the last 6 months, I would just learn to chill. Keep working hard
of course.
Keep working smart, but learn to be kind to myself, because there's no guarantee you pick up your business and go from one country to the other. You know, there's honestly no guarantee that you will get something. But if you stay diligent and if you put in the effort, something will come through, right? And that's just what I just had to have faith in the fact that, you know what, I've got a portfolio.
Yeah.
It is worth, you know, taking it abroad overseas. I would probably DM and network a lot more with photographers more. I think I could have done that probably more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. There was probably only a handful of photographers that I had contacted. And I don't know if that was a combination of either A, they were receptive to having second shooters like myself who were already established, or whether I had done enough research to figure out who were people that I could actually contact.
Okay.
I know we've got a mutual friend, you know, Govir Johal. Shout out to him. He's a fantastic photographer. And we had, you know, a nice 2-hour coffee catch up.
Amazing.
And I wish I'd just done more of that.
Yeah.
Because the very least, I could have second shot more for other studios, and that could have given me an income, right?
So. Of course.
If you are a photographer in this particular instance and you are moving your business and you're open to second shooting, whilst you're still working through your leads, be open to second shooting, right?
Yeah, of course.
At least you may get some odd jobs here and you might actually get like an income.
Yeah.
Or if you are open to, which I wasn't, getting an actual job, like a like, you know, a normal 9-to-5 if you really wanted to. I just didn't want to, because that for me was like, I labeled that as failing. I didn't want to fail in that regard. Quote unquote, but I was stubborn. I don't want to go into a job. I want to do this wholeheartedly, 100%.
Yeah.
Probably those things, I would say. I would maybe.
But I think second shooting, it gives you an opportunity as well, especially when you're new, to network.
Definitely. Yeah.
Connect with people.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Easily that, yeah. And, you know, hopefully we can shoot together at some point, some day.
So, I've already offered second shooting.
Keen. Yeah, I'm keen. I think it's good because it'll do so much if you think about it. One, you obviously get paid. Two, you get to see what a market is like here, what weddings are like here.
Of course, yeah.
Three, networking. Four, the odd potential client might find you. You don't know, right? So it's so advantageous. I don't see what the downside is. So yeah, I would definitely do more of that if I could.
Awesome. Speaking of networking, again, I know we've touched on it slightly.
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of methods have you used aside from obviously DMing every wedding?
Look, to be honest, I mean, DMing has been the bulk of it. I would honestly say that. I remember the day we connected, that was a different type of networking I tried. And I'll retell that story briefly. But I actually decided to go old school one day and print off some flyers, and I had a portfolio, and I'm like, you know what? I'm the type of person that I would literally exhaust every resource possible.
Yeah.
Right, to try and get a lead. I was scratch and claw for it if I have to, right? Like, I was like, screw it. So I remember going and Googling like top South Asian clothing vendors for bridal.
Right.
Now, if you're not a South Asian wedding photographer, you might be like a, you know, Western wedding photographer or whatnot. You can still hit up any other bridal clothing brand. I still think that would probably work just as well. But my theory was, you know what? If I had to go where a lot of brides would go for foot traffic,
yeah,
that's what I thought they'd probably go.
Of course.
So I found like the top 3 or 4 stores, and I'm like, all right, let me hit, like, I'll make it a day.
Yeah.
Right, I'll go and treat myself. I'll go get lunch even, you know?
Yeah.
But I dressed up. I had my portfolio. I had literally done no preparation in advance. I just rocked up, and I'm like, let me just have a conversation. Instagram is one thing, you know?
Yeah.
Facebook and Google and all that's one thing. But there is something different about just going in and having a face-to-face conversation, like we are right now.
Yeah, of course,
right?
Yeah.
Face-to-face contact, they just see your aura, they see your personality, they see how dedicated you are. There is something different about that. So when I walked into these stores, the first thing that people asked me, they're like, oh, who are you? Where are you from?
Yeah.
Gave them the spiel and all of that. And then they're like, oh, what brings you here? And I told them, I'm like, look, to be fair, I'm like, you guys definitely have a lot of people walking in here. They go daily. I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I'd actually love to photograph them if possible. And the way I kind of spun it was, I mean, like, you guys have great clothing. Maybe we could do something together.
Yeah.
And if at the very least, if I couldn't get a potential client booking, I'd at least potentially get like a collaboration shoot or something.
Yeah, of course.
Like that. There's always something I wanted, right? Something I could even give, which I thought was even better. And so, you know, I went in with the hope getting leads and potential client bookings. At the very least, I could try and get maybe a collaborative shoot.
Yeah.
So they've all of these stores have my contact details, which are great. And they hopefully will send like stuff along the way. This only happened last week, so it's a very, very like fresh thing. But I remember one of the stores actually being open to doing a collaborative shoot. Like, fingers crossed, hopefully like we'll work that alongside a talented makeup artist.
Right.
And would probably end up doing a campaign shoot, which again, if you think about what you would do on, say, a Tuesday afternoon, not doing anything versus a collaborative shoot, that could potentially expose your business and give you like, you know, great, you know, quote unquote exposure. I don't know. Yeah. I know we've got an interesting word with that word, but I would much rather take the shoot any day, because that is going to help to, you know, bring awareness to the brand and to potentially get more shoots in. So I think that was probably the most recent thing that I think I've done. That's just unorthodox, a bit different. It's very old school, but I think it has such credibility because it's like you're just going in there and having a conversation.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
The same thing could have been done for like, you know, wedding venue planners as well, or like just caterers or people that you know have venues where they have events being held at. I haven't done that yet, but I think I'm probably going to add that to the list, if anything.
It's interesting that you're talking about speaking to different vendors, because I think as photographers, we've covered so many weddings and we know what it involves to organize a wedding.
Yeah.
When it comes down to connecting with all these different vendors, we really have to sit down and think, how many different avenues are there? Like, there's, like you said, there's dress designers, then you've got makeup artists, and then you've got...
And you know what I think the funny overlap is photographers actually have the lucky proposition of being the gel between everything.
Yeah.
Because everyone needs photos, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're very lucky in that regards as a photographer to be able to have a conversation with literally any vendor and support them because everyone needs pictures.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Everyone's got an Instagram page.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a website. So that's why every conversation I've had with every vendor is A, to introduce myself, but B, to ask them, how can I help you?
Yeah.
Right? Like, just literally just going in there with a conversation about how can I help you? Because at the end of the day, we could do something together and something will be shot somewhere and put up somewhere and someone's going to see that.
Yeah.
And I know it's a very hard thing to monitor and track, but at the end of the day, like, you meet so many vendors within this industry. And as a photographer, like, all it takes is just a conversation.
Yeah, right? I agree.
You know, you would easily network with... Think about how many vendors you would meet on a wedding day, right? The hair and makeup artist. Let's just assume they've got a wedding planner on the day, sure. Or like a wedding coordinator, right?
Yeah.
A DJ, easily. A venue coordinator.
Yeah,
caterer,
course.
Right? Maybe a dance choreographer who's probably there on the day, or maybe leading up to it, right? That's like, what, 6 vendors straight off the bat?
Yeah.
Right? And all it takes is a conversation with just any number of them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I do agree. Like, it's just having that conversation with vendors within the industry definitely have helped easily.
Oh, another interesting one that I had was, so in terms of actually shooting then in a new environment, how have you gone about scouting different locations or suitable locations?
I am going to do the cheeky thing of literally saying, so every photography studio in London, I've just stalked religiously.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because I'm like, I wonder where that was. Okay. And I'm like, and some people are cheeky. Some of them add the location, some of them don't. I was like, oh, fair enough. Googling a lot has helped in terms of like locations in London. I think, you know, I'm in a very particular spot of being a tourist as well as a photographer.
Yeah.
So on a normal circumstance, if I was in Sydney and I'm like, I got a location scout or somewhere I've been born and raised for like, you know, my entire life, I would not be bothered.
Yeah.
Because I've like, it's like Siebes, I'm not going an hour out of my way.
Yeah, of course.
Being in London, a place I've never been, I'll be like, I'll go 3 hours out of my way if I have to, because I'm still a tourist, right?
Exactly,
I still get to discover London. So every time I go and hit the streets for like dinner, I'm going out somewhere nice, I'm literally, my eyes are up because I'm like, oh, I could do a photo shoot there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I could do a photo shoot there. Right? I went to actually Richmond yesterday. I was catching up with a friend for lunch, and Richmond has a park.
Right.
A gorgeous botanical.
Richmond Park.
Yeah, Richmond Park. A beautiful botanic garden. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I'm literally pulling out my phones and just taking photos of it. And I'm just like, this is sick. And I just automatically found something. So to answer your question, it's just like, I would treat being a tourist as me scouting locations.
Oh, nice.
So apart from that, and obviously DMing or like going through everything, every single like photographer's Instagram page, there's also some couples who I just honestly ask for recommendations.
Oh, nice.
So whenever I get a pre-shoot inquiry, I always be honest and I'm like, look guys, I'm Australian, which means I've not, you know, been raised here. I don't know much here.
Right.
I always ask them for a vision first. Like, what's your vision? Like, let me know what your vision. Do you want urban architecture? Do you want greenery? Do you want like water? Do you want something, you know, regional? Do you want to go overseas? Like, what's your vision?
Yeah.
Then from there, I try and narrow down some location. Yeah. Right? But it is difficult because being in one country and then going to another, you don't know what it's going to be like, right? Pinterest is also going to be your best friend, I've realized. So I remember going through Pinterest and I remember typing in London couple photo shoot, and I got some stunning locations, and they're usually tagged as well. So they usually have the locations in their hashtag.
Oh, nice.
So now I've created a little Google map of all of my pinned saved address, like locations.
Oh, wow.
And some of them vary from, you know, 20 minutes to 3 hours out.
Yeah.
But I engage with my couples going, hey, like, this is the vision that I can help you with. These are locations I've found. What do you have, right? Like, let us know what locations you have in mind.
Yeah.
And we just work around that. Because otherwise, yeah, you are right. Like, you don't know the place. So how do you find a location, right? Pretty much. Yeah.
Taking it back then to Australia, would you be open to having a destination shoot in Australia now?
For, you know what? Every time I tell, and we joked about it as well, they're like, couples literally say, why would I come here?
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, why do you say that? They're like, that bothers me. But then everyone says Australia is so warm, which, look, it is. It's a pretty warm country. And I've literally had couples that are like, you know, if we were to plan a destination wedding, Australia would probably be one of the places we'd look into. I'm like, really? You know what it is? You know what it is? It's honestly this. People take for granted the location they're already in.
Yeah.
Which is why, more often than not, people genuinely tend to do sometimes destination weddings, right? Because they're like, been born and raised here, right? Yeah. We want something different.
Mm.
If anyone were to do a destination wedding in Australia, the home ground advantage I would have is I would know everything about
it. Of course,
I would easily lead everything. So fair enough. Which is so funny because I go back to Australia in 2 weeks' time for a 2 month break / working holiday, I guess. One of the couples that have actually booked me in for their wedding is Australian.
Oh, crazy.
But they live here.
Oh, really?
And they happen to be traveling back at the exact same time. And we decided that, like, hey, could we do our pre-shoot in Australia? And I'm like, in my mind, it was like, it was so ironically funny. I'm like, I came to the UK to now go back, obviously, for my own agenda, but to do a photo shoot for a couple who lives in the UK in Australia, in
That's
Sydney.
Crazy.
And I'm like, this is hilarious. It happens more often than you think. I think, yeah, it's just such a common thing, I've realized.
Really?
Yeah, people look at Australia and go, oh, such a beautiful, warm country. Which, look, it is. I'm not going to deny that. But you guys have Europe, man. Right? You know, the Santorini's like 3 hours away, if anything, right? Like, just Portugal's 4 hours away. All right, just go there. Let's do that. I wish more people did destination shoots, honestly. I really wish more people did that because it'd be so much more fun.
So you would definitely go back for a destination shoot in Australia then?
Look, I mean, yeah, maybe. I don't know. I feel like if it's something that I've not done before, which is very hard in Australia considering how small it is, sure. But if I'm there conveniently, then I guess I'll do it. If it's out of convenience, not out of my way.
Oh, big fair difference.
Enough. Yeah. Right now, I'm trying to take on more work in UK, being, of course, in the country that I'm supposed to be in.
Yeah, fair enough. Are you finding clientele's quite different to what you found in Australia?
I think when it comes to certain conversations like travel.
Yeah.
Because I've realized, especially in the UK, I could have an inquiry come from London one day and then Birmingham the next, right? And then like just random places in Manchester. I'm like, oh, okay, this is not exactly walking distance. Whereas in Sydney, all the conversations would be, you know, within 45 minutes from where I live.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah, I remember I had a bride once who was literally 2 minutes away. She was around the corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's so that's amazing. How small knit tight it is. So one of the conversations that I keep coming up to today in the UK is around travel a lot because these inquiries come from everywhere. The rest of it seemed to be pretty comparatively similar. I think there's the same style happens is like, you know, bride prep, groom prep, you know, the wedding format, reception, all of that. So those conversations are still the same. So I don't think there's been a great deal of difference, but it's more so managing the logistics around wedding photography in terms of what locations. The other part, I think, I suppose of challenges, and I guess this comes back to one of the barriers, I suppose, because UK has a high saturation of photographers. There is a lot of choice, which for the couple works out really well. As an entrepreneur who's trying to build their brand is also challenging. So I think when you present a quote, when you present a conversation forward to a client about their wedding, their first thing is they're naturally going to compare, which everyone would automatically do. But you're now up against a bigger clientele of, like, you know, photographers, a bigger marketplace of different creative artists in the industry. Whereas in Sydney, I think the benefit of, you know, being in one location, it was such a niche of a niche and like such a small area, like, sorted. So, you know, if you do move abroad, really have a niche that you want to try and target, or a specific area that you want to try and target at least anyways, and own that area. I guess for me, it was South Asian wedding photography in UK, which is a massive area itself. So that just exposes you up to more conversations with potential clients who might go elsewhere. And that's normal. That's part of the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, logistics is, apart from that, the only other conversation I seem to be having quite regularly.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Can you tell us some of the other major issues you might have encountered in kind of moving over?
I think one of the things that I've realized, I mean, prices for photography changes a little when you work with different currencies.
Yeah.
And I think for me specifically, and I don't know if this applies to other photographers who maybe staying in the country, just maybe moving cities, right?
Yeah.
So I know in the US, people do that all the time.
Yeah.
But I did the drastic measure of going from one currency to a different currency. So for me, I'm like, how do I do this? Because do I charge my Australian rates? And if I do that, is that less than what I should be charging here?
Yeah.
So I had to really figure that part out. So those were probably one of the things I had to research really intensely about, okay, what is an average wedding budget look like?
Right.
So if you are looking to move abroad, do your research, right? Maybe have a chat with another photographer or another vendor within the industry and just try and suss out what the industry is like what the average client is like. And I know there's not a specific middle range. You get two ends of the spectrums, right? You get, hey, we just want 2 hours of coverage.
Yeah.
Hey, we need you for a week and we own, right? Like it's intense, right? So you are very quickly realize that you have your ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
You need to be able to cater for both of them, right?
Mm.
So pricing for me was a very particular one because I didn't know how to do that.
But in terms of pricing, I mean, that's a very difficult one, even when you first get into photography. But I suppose in that respect, it's a bit easier because you're going into photography newly and you'll price yourself cheap in order to get bookings. But as an established photographer, you then have to kind of figure out what is the going rate and then what am I worth?
Yeah, it's interesting. And that plays into the mindset self-doubt part, right?
And
it's
then,
how
do you go about
you almost have imposter syndrome again to an extent, right? Because I remember like looking at what I thought was appropriate for my content.
Yeah.
But then going, but I'm also up against these incredibly talented people, you know?
Yeah.
And the first thing you do, you take a hit on your price. You're like, okay, no. Maybe let me just cut this a little bit. But then I'm like, but no, I know what it's worth.
Yeah.
So you really have to have this back and forth conversation with yourself. And my biggest advice is I actually haven't cut price. It's literally the same, if anything, now in pounds, right?
Yeah.
So I initially, when I started here, I was like, yeah, let me just go in and cheaper. But I very quickly realized, I'm like, no, I don't need to do that because I have a portfolio. I think there are a few variables here that people should consider, right? Now, again, what helps a transition if you actually have a portfolio, right?
Of course.
If you're starting afresh, it doesn't really matter because you're still finding content. I had about 5 years of a portfolio to show for it. So the content was there. The skill was there. The portfolio was evident. The website was all there. The YouTube channel was all there.
Yeah.
So for me to go in and go, I'm just going to charge less, didn't make any sense because I would only do that if I felt like I was very new to the wedding photography in general. But I wasn't. I'd been doing it for a few years.
Yeah.
So when, you know, I worked around my pricing and came up with what I thought was appropriate, it made sense to me, but it also reflected what I believe my time was also worth.
Right.
And again, you know, when couples come and have that conversation, they'll naturally negotiate and try and find wiggle room, and that's totally fine. But that comes down to you at the end of the day as to what you want to sort of price and charge.
Yeah.
You know what? I think this is comes down to maybe photography versus videography. Just your kit.
Yeah, yeah,
just your kit. And I think as a Canon shooter, we're just notoriously known for having bigger cameras.
Yeah.
That's not even a flex. That's just, it is what it is. And I think it's so stupid too. I hate that because Fuji cameras, great small. Sony cameras, great and small. Nice and tight. You have this big, bulky like camera. You're like, holy crap. My biggest challenge was fitting my entire life in two bags.
Yeah.
One, my actual kit, my photography kit, which we've got the same bag, newer, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to them because they're great. And then my clothing bag, right?
Yeah.
I remember I'm like, I just need whatever I have to just fit with me. And everything else I would buy secondary to that. Like if I needed a tripod, fine, I'd just find it in the area because I didn't have space to actually take it.
Yeah.
So it's probably that as a more of a logistical thing. And I suppose if anything, it also then came down to, okay, well, when I'm not shooting weddings,
yeah,
which wasn't every day, it's not every day, it's not every week even, what am I doing with my time?
Yeah.
Because if the transition from country A to B and the marketing that you would have done into that would have been happening 6 to 9 months in advance, what are you doing when you're actually here then?
Exactly.
Right? And that comes down to the extra hustle part. Like, that comes down to the part of how motivated you really are.
Yeah.
You know, are you going out to venues to having a conversation? Are you creating TikTok videos from your bedroom, right? Because that's the only space you have to operate in. Are you going and doing podcasts, right? Are you networking with other vendors? These things are very hard to track the return on investment, whether it actually pays dividends at the end of the day. But never look at it like that. Just look at it as these little things that you're doing in increments to build up some level of a brand that you've created, right? In a very foreign place. And, you know, fortunately, 6 months have now gone and I'm having conversations that are better than what I was having when I first came here.
Yeah.
And these conversations were, oh, we've seen your work now. Oh, okay, you did so-and-so shoot with so-and-so. Oh, I actually saw you at that bridal fair. Oh, I heard you on that podcast, right? And this is why it comes also back down to patience, because if I had told myself just to be patient in 6 months' time, this is what it's actually going to be, I wouldn't have stressed as much.
Fair enough.
But I also used the time wisely whenever I wasn't shooting. So hence why I did, like, you know, 20 odd free shoots here and there.
Yeah.
Things that weren't even involved in my direct line of work, right? Shot for hair oil companies, which is very random, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
Those are the times that you really want to make sure you're making the most out of, because you might be in a very different life situation to what I am, right?
Yeah.
If you're a photographer who's potentially moving, you may have kids, you may have a partner, or you might be single like myself, transitioning alone.
Yep.
These things will make an impact, because if I was on my own versus if I was with a family, naturally my efforts would also be different. Because I have so much surplus time, I'm responsible for all of it. So I have no excuse to not go out there when I'm free and do a whole bunch of different things. And it, for me, was a lot more easier. So your life circumstance can impact how you make the transition from one country to another versus, you know, if you're like, say, in your 20s, if you're single, or if you're in your 30s married, these things have an impact.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what you can do before and leading up to that, those things can still be the same. You know, Instagram and changing your locations and trying to get more out of your digital marketing approach, those things can still be relevant, right?
Mm.
So I would probably go in with those as like my biggest kind of challenges leading towards the actual transition and even being in it still to this day.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I think the final thing that I wanted to ask was, and I think throughout we've touched on parts of it, but overall, how do you think that move itself has specifically impacted your business?
Yeah, look, I mean, let's just talk about portfolio for starters, right? So I had to really question it. I don't think I would have had the opportunity of shooting a wedding in Portugal had I not moved here. And I was literally reflecting about this the other day, because think about it. The client, and with most destination wedding photography packages, typically flights are usually covered by the client.
Of course.
The client, in other cases, would have had to cover it from Sydney to Portugal, which is a much more expensive flight than from London to Portugal.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. So if we narrow it down to content specifically, I think the actual business itself benefits dramatically, because I'm now enabling myself to do shoots that I never would have had access to before. And, you know, I'm currently still trying to, fingers crossed, work a few more leads that are also destination shoots as well. But again, that would have only came through had I done this first one in the first place. So there's a follow-on effect from that, right? So I'm going to say the first thing that I've realized that it's definitely made an impact is just the content side of things, the ability to shoot weddings that I probably wouldn't have had access to.
Yep.
The second thing is I genuinely feel my creative capabilities are tested here a lot more. And I think that is a combination of a couple of things. One, the country of UK, like being in UK as a whole, I generally feel like the creative scene here is much more talented. And I'm to no digs at any photographers back in Australia, but the scene here has a lot of talent, which I've always admired and respected. And I think there's so much to learn and so much to see that it makes me want to also improve my own work.
Yeah.
Again, you can still also do that in your local country, but when you're also meeting these people who can show you the ropes, and I've had an opportunity to second with a photographer, he's an editorial photographer, Indy Sagu, I don't know if you know of him, but shout out to him. He's a fantastic, fantastic editorial photographer. He doesn't do weddings, but he's more of a portrait photographer.
Right.
But seeing his work here in his studio in the UK, I'm like, phenomenal. Again,
wow.
Networking opportunities, right?
Yeah.
So I think being in a country like that, you're just exposed a lot more to different artists, to different talent that you yourself feel like you also want to improve to a different extent, right? I'm going to say easily that. If you take it back to a more personal thing as opposed to a business thing, the personal challenges, I'm now growing as a human being. I'm discovering more about the world, also myself.
Of course.
Being more of an independent person. So, you know, there's always a twofold impact. One, on you as a photographer and as a business owner, but two, as you as a person. So I think hand in hand, both, they're still me at the end of the day, but regardless, like, I'm learning how to be independent. I cook and do all of that stuff now, yeah. Right? Go to the gym. I'm fully independent on my own. And I never had this privilege of doing that being in Australia.
Yeah.
So you combine those two things and ultimately realize you're doing what you absolutely love in a brand new country combined with travel. You're still growing. You're still creating your brand. You're exercising your own creative flair because you're around different people all the time.
Yeah.
You're seeing different locations within your city. You're traveling regionally as well. You're networking.
Yeah.
You realize in hindsight, like, all in all, again, would not have been possible had you'd stayed.
Mm.
And I know you and I reconnected a lot on this, but the ability just to grow as a person, to be outside your comfort zone,
yeah,
is by far the biggest impact that it'll have on me as a business owner, as a photographer, but as a human being. Because yeah, without that, I probably wouldn't have been as happy and as full as I am today, right?
Of course.
And so, you know, these things, when I look back, I even speak about it on the channel, it's just like, I might walk away from this experience going, okay, it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to be the case. It would more likely be, you know what, I gave it a shot to do something that I was really uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
I met some incredibly talented people. I networked. I created some beautiful content that I never would have had access to.
Of course.
There's really not a downside to this.
Yeah.
All it is genuinely is just mindset. Like, if you walk in embracing the experience of, you will have silent days, you'll have busy days, you will have situations where you doubt yourself, you will have great content, your brand will either grow or it will be stagnant.
Yeah.
Right. You will have all of that. But if you just welcome and actually embrace it, man, there's zero downside to this. It's just all fun. And it's actually great because it's an adventure for me, right?
It's like true,
being
yeah,
in a brand new country, you know, trying to travel, trying to earn an income. And I think right now with where the business is at, 6 months in now, I remember I've booked in about six weddings in the month of Jan and Feb, which is great.
Yeah.
So that came through for this year as well as next year. So now that those deposits are in.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's like I can just relax and breathe a little bit because it's like, when you don't have anything, you're like shitting bricks, right? You're like, oh my God, I'm stressed out. I don't know if this is the right move. But now that those deposits are in, it's like, okay, cool. I have a bit of breathing room now.
Yeah.
Now I can just actually enjoy and relax. So your first couple of like weddings will be a bit tough to get, but it's just momentum. And you get that, you rinse and repeat what you're doing and you try different things at the same time, you'll realize how much you're actually enjoying this entire move. But yeah, man, I would say those are probably the things that I think have impacted me, just not as a business owner, but as a person. Easily.
Awesome.
Easily.
Fair enough. I think that's a really good place to drop off now. But again, thank you so much for joining me.
No, thank you for
sharing your
story.
Before we sign off, I always tend to ask as well, tell us a little bit about something, anything that's exciting coming up in your business, or yeah, just pretty much plug yourself.
Oh man, that shameless plug moment right here. Yeah. I love that. look, I mean, for me, I think I've always, you know, wanted to see if I could do more in the South Asian space, but on an international presence. And I think that expanded initially when I came here, it was just supposed to be UK. Like, I didn't have any plans to go anywhere else other than UK. But I realized very quickly, and I'm like, you know what? Why can't I just be more global than that? Like, why can't I create content in other countries, in other cities?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think from doing the one Portugal wedding, again, touch wood and fingers crossed it converts the others, but there will be hopefully other countries that come up, which will then expand that horizon from that brand.
It becomes addictive, doesn't it?
Mate, it's like, you can't stop. It's like, and I know you told me like that advice that you got given is that when you get a destination wedding, you kind of just want to be like, yeah, chill. But you can't chill. It's just like, you're so ecstatic because you're like, I have the opportunity to do what I love and that I'm good at in a brand new city I've never been to, still be a tourist.
Yeah.
And get paid for it. Right?
Yeah, it's like a dream.
It's a dream, right? I genuinely think wedding photography is by far one of the best jobs in the entire world.
I agree.
So I think, look, for me, like, one of the things I'm looking forward to a lot this year is just doing a lot more international like shoots and international work.
Yeah.
I'm confident that these gigs will come through because once you get your first one, that's all you really need.
Yeah.
Your first one will hopefully help you convert the next few. And by that point, you just realize you're no longer a UK wedding photographer, a US wedding photographer. You're like global, mate. You're going everywhere, yeah, right? You're doing the northern, southern hemisphere. You're going crazy places. And that's why, like, you know, aim big, right? Like, don't just stick to one city. I came here with the mindset of just UK.
Yeah.
But within the first couple of months, I'm like, no. We're going like everywhere, all of Europe. Like,
awesome.
Yeah. I'll probably just drop with that, leave with that, man.
Nice, fair enough. All right, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having
we'll
me, man.
We'll keep in touch.
Found my focus soon as you came into view. Highlight and expose the way I think of you. Now it's clear as day just what I need to do. Don't ever start, just give it all that you got. This moment, ready or not, you've got to shoot your shot.